Hello, friends. Welcome to the Old Fashioned On Purpose podcast. This is the show where we explore what we have left behind as we have raced towards progress. But more importantly, we talk about how we can get the good stuff back. And I'm your host, Jill Winger. I have been living this homestead lifestyle, if that's what you want to call it, since about 2008. So I've been doing it before it was cool. I live out here on the wide open Wyoming prairies, aka the Arctic, with my family and a bunch of farm animals. And one of my biggest passions in life has been to teach these skills to a new generation. So I've written books, I have this podcast, and I'm really glad you are here today. So I actually was going to record on a different topic today. And then I ended up having some really interesting discussions on social media. That happens to me a lot. And I thought it was good to bump that other topic for a future date and talk about this instead. So we're going to talk about community today, which I consider to be one of the core pillars of what I call an old-fashioned on-purpose lifestyle. So if you have my book, Old-Fashioned on Purpose, it's in there. We talk about the importance of community, why it is such an old-fashioned idea. You know, obviously we have people everywhere in our modern culture. We're more connected than ever before, but we're also lonelier statistically than we've ever been. And so I believe that as we're planting gardens, looking at personal food production, trying to get back to the good stuff, I think one of the best ways to do that is by intentionally building community around us. Now, this has actually been a really popular topic as I've began to discuss it online over the last, 12 to 18 months, maybe a little bit longer than that. I have been creating in this homestead space for well over a decade now, and it's been interesting to see it gain more traction, if you will. When we first started creating homestead content back in 2010, me and all the other homestead bloggers, it was all about, you know, the canning and the food and the bread and all that. And then I've seen a huge shift in the awareness of like, oh, we were pushing towards self-sufficiency, but hey, wait, we also need to have this community aspect as well. I think that's super healthy, extremely important. And I've said before, self-sufficiency is a little bit of a myth. We need to have other people. If you look at other cultures, whether it's the Amish or the way that the original homesteaders operated back in the day, they weren't lone rangers. They had a community. They were extremely intentional about gathering and making time for that. And so I think as we're working on building our homesteads, that's a really important aspect that we shouldn't omit. Okay, so let's get into the juicy part. I think a lot of the times when people hear me talk about community, especially our little community, which I've talked about before, so I'm not going to give the whole story here today. I'll just give you a nutshell version. I think they romanticize it a little bit. And it's easy to do. You're not here in the day-to-day, right? You just hear what I have to say. And it's easy to think it's something that maybe it's not. Nobody's fault. That's just how it works when you're creating content. We live in Southeast Wyoming. There's a tiny little town near our homestead, about 9 miles away. It's the closest population center, if you can call it that, about 175 people. It's been here since the mid-1800s is when they started to settle this area. And it's hanging on by a shoestring. So we have become involved in recent years in hopefully helping that community to grow a little bit, bring some fresh life and some excitement and some offerings to that community. And as I've talked about it online, I get a lot of people going, oh, it's so cool. I wish I could do that. I'm so jealous. I wish my community had those same things, right? That's a really common response. A lot of people also ask me, you know, how can I create community like you're doing? What's the first step in finding what you have or creating what you have? And then another piece of that, which often comes up in the conversation next, and this is the kicker, this is the part that inspired today's episode, is when people ask, how do you find that group of like-minded people who are just like me and they have my worldview and they share my beliefs? How do you find that? And my answer to that question, sometimes I don't answer it, sometimes I just kind of ignore it, but I got to thinking about it. And at the end of the day, my answer to that question is, you don't find that. If you really want to build community, I think it's a mistake, actually, to only seek out those who are exactly like you. And so that's where this episode started. I tweeted that out to the world. And this is the original tweet, just so you have the context. I'm reading it here. It says, how do you find a community that fully matches your beliefs and values? You don't. You learn how to befriend people from all walks of life and prioritize relationships over opinions. All you have otherwise is an echo chamber. So I posted that out. It got some good traction on Twitter. And then I posted it on Instagram. And then something interesting happened. I always approach these social media discussions with a very curious mind. I think it's really interesting to see which things create trigger points in people and which groups of people are triggered by certain things. It's not something that offends me. It's not something that makes me upset. I take it in stride as someone who creates content for the public. It's just something that comes with the territory. But I find it very, very interesting. And it often inspires future episodes of this podcast and future social media things. So anyway, there are people who had issue with that post. And honestly, I have a pretty good heartbeat of what's controversial for my audience. Kind of know how you phrase things or what things you might say that are going to cause an explosion. And I didn't think this would be one of those because I kind of thought it was one of those happy-go-lucky, kumbaya, warm and fuzzy posts, right? Oh, community is important. Embracing differences are important. The end, moving on, share it, and off we go. But there was actually a number of people who disagreed, and they let me know they disagree, and I thought it was interesting. There was some themes in the people who disagreed. I'm not trying to throw rocks in this episode, but I do want to address it because I know I have a number of these people in my audience, and I think this is an important discussion. So I'm going to invite you to listen today with an open mind and be willing to sit with ideas that maybe make you uncomfortable at first and maybe are not what you typically repeat or typically listen to or believe, but just you don't have to accept those ideas. I just invite you to sit with them with open hands, okay, as we get in today. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody in particular, but I think this is really important because I see this really increasing in homestead circles. I got a lot of people private messaging me after reading our discussions on this post saying they have felt this as well in homesteading circles. And so as a homesteading person, podcaster, I want to talk about it. So I noticed that a lot of the people who had issue with my original tweet, the one about not creating echo chambers, were of a religious or a Christian or an evangelical orientation. And I think that's interesting because, you know, that's my background. I was raised in that. I'm very familiar with that culture and the Bible and the verses and all that. I think there's a lot in the Bible, if you want to use that as your foundation, which these people do, that actually would speak to the idea of cultivating a diverse community, cultivating community with people not like you, reaching out to those who are not carbon copy, cookie cutter versions of you. But it seems to be there's a little bit of a missing piece there. So here's what I want you to understand about my community that I think maybe is romanticized a little bit online by accident. I don't live in a homesteading commune. I don't live in any sort of commune, actually. We have very, very few what I would call super duper like-minded people in our community. There's not a lot of people who homestead. There's not a lot of people into entrepreneurship. There's not a lot of people who look at life the way Christian and I look at life or move through life that way. There's just not. My community is not like me. And I think that when people see all the cool things that are happening here, they assume that I have found this mecca of cookie cutter Jills, and I have not. And I want folks to understand that because I think hopefully that will take away a huge barrier if you would like to create community in your own circles. Honestly, I was one of those people for many years of living here that looked at the people around me and I'm like, there's not a match. So I'm just not going to dig in. I'm just going to mind my own business, do my own thing, keep my head in the sand. And then I was convicted, if you want to use a churchy word. I was convicted in recent years that really wasn't the way to be. You know, we had created a really cool life here. We had cultivated a lot of skills. And I'm like, and what's the point of having those if I'm not sharing them with those around me, if I'm just keeping them to myself? Like, that just didn't feel right to me. And that's when we started to branch out into our community. So I guess to start off, to answer the question of, you know, how do you find like-minded people? true community, I don't think, is a homogenous collection of people who are just like you. I think it's about digging into where you are right now, wherever that might be, as imperfect as it is, and just finding common ground in the tiniest of ways. And what I do find is that, you know, I don't have a lot in common with a lot of the people in my community, but I can find little bits of common ground. Like, maybe they don't understand homesteading or entrepreneurship or the weird way that Christian and I live our life, but we have a shared love for the history of Chugwater, our tiny town, or we have a shared love for the history of the soda fountain, or we can appreciate that we both want the town to grow, maybe in different ways, but we can come together on that, right? That's what I'm talking about when I talk about community. So that's the first piece. The second piece came up a lot in private messages and on the comments, and I promised people I would discuss it here in long form, because it's one of those things when I'm posting a tweet, tweets are really short, you can't get all the nuance into a single tweet. So one of the biggest objections that folks had to this tweet was they said, it's really important that you don't hang out with people who are different from you because they can influence you. And they're like, you have to make sure that your inner circle is people just like you. That's important. And they quoted some Bible verses and they said the only time you should hang out with people different than you is if you're trying to convert them or change them or save them or whatever, right? Lots of different ways that they phrase that. So here's the differentiation. I think that, yes, you know, I love the quote, whoever said it, I don't know who said it first. You are the sum or the average of the five people you hang around the most, right? So if you're hanging out with Debbie Downers and negative people and people, you know, anytime you try to do something different or step out, everyone drags you back down and says, that's dumb. Don't try so hard. Go back to sleep. Watch some more Netflix. Like, yeah, those people will influence you 1,000%. And you need to guard against that, right? So I think what I'm talking about in this episode is the difference between community, which I define as like the broader group around you, and your inner circle. And your inner circle may be a part of that community, but I see those as two different groups of people. Now, my inner circle is very small, and it's comprised of just a handful of people I think the best way to say it is they feel like home when you're around them. Hopefully you guys have experienced that in some way in your life as well. They're just those people, you've had shared experiences, you have enough history, you can just be yourself. You have enough shared beliefs and different topics that you get each other. You're on the same page. It just feels good to be around them. That is awesome to have. I know not everybody has that. There's been many years I didn't have that, but I have a few people like that in my life, and I love them. And when I need my cup filled, I go and hang out with them, right? That's important. But I think that what happens too often is those inner circle people, the people who feel like home, can also feel really comfortable and easy. And it's so, so tempting. And it's such human nature for us to only gravitate towards those people and forget about our ability or our calling to influence those around us or to serve those around us or to help those around us. And you guys know I'm not a churchy person. And some of you know my past with that, but I still feel like it's really important that I am actively engaging in those around me who maybe aren't in my inner circle. And I know that I'm supposed to have some sort of influence on the people around me, however small that may be. Maybe it's just, you know, being around them, working side by side with them and showing them like, hey, more is possible in life than you think. Or, you know, you don't have to stay somewhere you don't like. You can take action. You can do something different. You can think about life in a different way. I feel like that is where that influence is really powerful. And you can't do that, in my experience, unless you're down in the trenches, elbow to elbow with those in your community, right? You can't sit in your happy, comfortable inner circle and hope that change happens. You know, drive by and wave. That's not how it works. And digging in to Chugwater has taught me that in a really big way. And I've been in a lot of uncomfortable situations with people who do not share my same values. We did not grow up the same. They do not see life the same way as I do. And getting to know them. I'm not saying that I have taken everything they believe and it has become my own. Of course, I'm not saying that. But getting to know these people who are vastly different than me has been one of the best things I can even imagine for helping me have more empathy, for helping me to understand people better, to keep me grounded. Like, You gotta have it. You gotta have it. And it's uncomfortable sometimes. Some of the people that we have had come into our employment as we have owned the soda fountain fall into this category, right? They're very different than me. They have different stories. They look different, right? You wouldn't expect us to be BFFs if you saw us both walking down the street. And again, none of them have become inner circle. We have different paradigms, but it's been so humbling and so beautiful to get to know them on a human level, not as a charity case, not as, oh, let me save you. Let me throw you, you know, some bones, but as an actual human to human interaction. And I think everybody needs that. And when I'm talking about having a community that's diverse in background and beliefs, I think that's really what I'm getting at. So inner circle, yes, go to people that you trust, that you are aligned with for counsel and wisdom, but then don't just stay there. Get out and start making connections elsewhere. Another thought, a really interesting thought that came up. This might step on some toes, but I'm going to say it. I'm getting a little braver as I mature into my content creation. A big argument that came up, especially among those in the religious circles, they said, "Okay, cool, but I cannot be friends with someone who has a different foundational belief system than I do. That is like unbiblical. It's not allowed. It makes me uncomfortable. Like whatever. It's dangerous." It's kind of like the underlying theme there. So let me challenge you a little bit on that. On one hand, I totally get what those people are saying, right? There are some non-negotiables. Like, I'm trying to think of an example that's not politically charged, so I'm just going to kind of say a silly one. I'm probably not going to be BFFs or seek out an in-depth relationship with a serial killer. It's just not going to work, right? We're not going to have a lot in common. We're going to have vastly different belief systems of what is important in life, what matters. So like, that's someone that I'm going to probably, you know, I might serve them a milkshake at the soda fountain and be like, ah, like this isn't going to work for any sort of like actual relationship, right? That's a hard line. It's okay to have some hard lines. Here's the part that I see that concerns me. We live in such a polarized time in history where we have siloed ourselves to death into these extreme binaries. Most of this is along either religious lines or political lines is what I see the most right now, that we have turned a ton of issues into those hard black and white serial killer lines, right? And I want to challenge you. This is going to be uncomfortable, y'all. Might step on some toes. I'm going to challenge you that maybe not every single thing you think is a hard line actually is a hard line. Okay. What I see with politics right now, and a lot of the comments that came into my post that were discussing like, oh, I can't be friends with someone who believes this, or I can't be friends with someone who believes that, right? It's two sides of the same coin. It's like, it's the same bird and it's two different wings, because we have one political party who believes that anyone who votes this certain way makes you a whole laundry list of evil things, right? You're racist, you believe this, you're a horrible person, you're the devil, right? We have one political party that just automatically puts anyone who falls into that group into this bucket of just basically you're Hitler, no exceptions. But don't worry, I'm going to get to everybody. I'm going to equally offend the whole crowd. We have another political party that has become so polarized and so siloed that we believe that everyone who votes this other way is automatically evil, and they automatically want all children to die and kill all the babies, right? And we've just siloed and pigeonholed everybody. We've created these extreme false dichotomies. And so that's what I see. They're like, okay, they said on the post, Jill, I'll do community, but I'm not going to do community with this type of person, or I'm not going to do community with that type of person. I'm like, okay, I respect your boundaries. I respect what you feel is important, but maybe what if, just consider the fact that maybe you're operating a little bit out of a false dichotomy there. Like, are there people in either side of the political extremes that are both on either side, hear me say that, they're kind of miserable, crummy human beings? Yeah, absolutely. But I'm going to challenge you that the majority who vote differently than you probably aren't as extreme in their beliefs as you think. We have social media to thank for making us think that anyone different than us, anyone who votes different than us, automatically is just basically the devil incarnate. And if you want to push back, against a uniquely modern phenomenon that is so dangerous and insidious, and how it is hurting humans and hurting our culture, push back against that. Push back against this idea that if someone's different than you, or votes differently than you, or believes differently than you, then they're automatically just, their soul is as black as Satan. Like, push back against that. So no, you don't have to be best friends with everyone. And there are people that, even in our little community, I just don't jive with. You know, I can be cordial, we can have conversations, but we just don't, we're not on the same wavelength. We don't get a whole lot out of being with each other. That's okay. You don't have to be everybody's best buddy. But I would encourage you to stop with the siloing, stop with the grouping. See how much you can push yourself to be uncomfortable around people who aren't like you. Just see what happens. You don't have to believe like they believe necessarily, but just put yourself in those situations. I know you guys are really good at doing hard things. And those are always some of my most popular episodes here, is when we talk about, you know, pushing against our comfort zones and putting ourselves in those situations that are creating just enough discomfort that we grow. Try that with your communities as well. A really great example of this was a conversation I had. It was New Year's Eve. We invited some friends over. We don't hang out with them a lot, but they're friends. Christian has known this gentleman for a very long time. They grew up together. And so we had supper and we were sitting at the table and we got into the coolest conversation. Now, it does not think or believe the same way that Christian and I do on many issues. He has a lot of different opinions on things. But what I do appreciate about him is that he's really well-read. He listens to both sides and he's willing to be diplomatic. And so we were able to have a very engaging conversation for, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours. The time went really fast, about a bunch of political issues. And a couple of them are political issues that tend to kind of make my hackles stand up. Like socialism is something that I am not a fan of. I'll just say it. I don't think it's a great system. And what I've seen with the historical instances of socialism and how it works in economies doesn't really work. It's a nice idea on paper, doesn't work in practice. It doesn't jive with human nature and how humans are intrinsically motivated, and it leads to some icky stuff. So I don't really like that. When people start to talk about socialism, I just get a little bit like my hackles go up. I wouldn't say this gentleman is a socialist, but he has some ideas that dip into that world that I don't really hold. And so he started to bring those up. And so I was able to ask him questions and he was able to ask me questions. And it was a blast. It was a blast. Nobody got upset. Nobody yelled. Nobody was offended. But we sat there with these two competing ideas and were able to discuss them and question them. And he brought things to the table and I brought things to the table. And when we got done that evening, it was well after midnight, we both felt invigorated. I mean, he said he enjoyed it, so I don't think I'm putting words into his mouth. We felt invigorated. It was exhilarating. It was enjoyable. I left with things to chew on that I hadn't thought of before. I thought I kind of was set in stone on certain things. And then the way he presented his thoughts, I'm like, oh, that's a good point. I understand why you think that. Maybe I don't agree with you, but I understand how you came to that conclusion. So it was awesome. And I am just telling you that story as an example of, I think it's so important that we can sit with two competing ideas at once, right? We don't have to adopt those ideas, but just sit with them and just be able to do that without feeling triggered, without running away screaming, without feeling like we have to run back to our comfort zone of people who are just like us. And I think when we can do that, we can grow and we can expand and we can just become more well-rounded people. So as we wrap this up, it'll be interesting to see the feedback on this one. I just want to encourage you. You want to push back against modern culture? You want to do things the old-fashioned way? Push back against the polarization. Now, people being super polarized is not a new phenomenon. It has happened throughout history. I always love looking at patterns. I think patterns are fascinating. And you can see this happening before. This isn't the first time a country has been as divided as America is right now. Now, often when countries get to this point of division, what happens next isn't great. So that's a whole nother topic. But this is a part of human nature. Humans are tribal. Humans are cliquish. Humans find safety in groups, safety in numbers. We're basically herd animals, like a bunch of cattle. So this isn't new, but it is a modern phenomenon in that it has been exacerbated by social media like crazy. So if you want to push back, if you want to be old-fashioned, find some common ground. Draw a bigger circle. You cannot influence for good. However you want to influence, whether it's what you believe or how you move through life or what you believe about food or homesteading or whatever, you can't influence unless you're out with people. You can't do it hiding in your little island or hiding in your little house on the hill. You have to get out there and do the messy part. And make no mistake, community is messy sometimes, friends. There are days when I'm not having a good time being involved in community. I'm going to be really honest. There are days it's not fun. There are days it's frustrating and annoying and aggravating. And then there are other days where you see people make strides or you see things come together and you're like, yeah, this is what it's all about. And it's not supposed to be easy because the good things in life rarely are. So continue to be curious. Ask questions. Like I said, you don't have to just take someone's beliefs as your own just because you're hanging out with them. You can sit and you can ask good questions and you can be open and you can be friendly and put yourself in situations when you are actively around people who aren't like you, who make you a little bit uncomfortable, perhaps in the way they think and how different they are. That's a good thing. It'll stretch you and grow you. So there you have it. I hope that was helpful. I hope that challenged you. I hope that broadened your horizons a little bit. And know that I'm doing this imperfectly. There are days where I am super engaged and I'm loving this community-driven life. There are other days where I'm like, I'm just going to go hide on the homestead and maybe become a hermit. That does feel attractive sometimes. So it's ups and downs. It's roller coasters. It's messy as heck, but it's a really good thing. So thanks for listening, friends. And we'll talk again on the next episode of Old Fashioned on Purpose.